Okay. I call to order the meeting of the Newport City Council regular meeting today, June 20th, 2022. Roll call, please, Peggy.
Kaplan.
Here.
Hall.
Here.
Bateo.
Here.
Jacoby.
Here.
And Goble.
Here.
Would you please stand, join us for the Pledge of Allegiance. Peggy or Eric, is there any public comment, please?
That's going to be later. We have two public comments. One is during the local contract review board meeting on the dust control issue, and the other one is related to the ASK proclamation. They are both included in the packet, and when we get to the dust control, Eric will be reading that one.
Okay, thank you. Our next order of business is the oath of office and for the Assistant Fire Chief, Fire Marshal Tom Sicaris. And that will be done by Eric Glover.
All right, Tom, if you can raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Thomas Sicaris.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will uphold the Constitution and laws of the United States.
I will uphold the Constitution and the laws of the United States.
And the state of Oregon.
And the state of Oregon.
And the ordinances of the city of Newport.
And the ordinances of the city of Newport.
And faithfully perform the duties of Assistant Chief Fire Marshal.
And faithfully perform the duties of Assistant Chief Fire Marshal.
Upon which I am about to enter. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's yours.
Congratulations, guys.
Yes.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Sorry. I now have the honor to present two proclamations, which are important documents to our community. The first one is the ASK proclamation, and I would ask Rhonda and Kay to just come up here and stand with me while I give the proclamation. Then I will give it to you. Thank you. 2022, Asking Saves Kids campaign. Whereas for nearly 20 years, the Asking Saves Kids campaign has partnered with more than 400 grassroots organizations to spread its Let's Help Parents Keep Kids Safe message in neighborhoods nationwide. And whereas the ASK campaign is a collaboration with the American Academy of Pediatrics, which has promoted the ASK message to its 60,000 members across the country. And whereas parents ask all sorts of questions before children visit an unfamiliar home, including about pets' allergies, internet access, and more. And whereas ASK promotes a simple idea with the potential to help keep kids safe by encouraging parents to ask if there is an unlocked gun in the homes where their children may play. And whereas ASK allows parents to play an active role in keeping kids safe, and any parent can make a difference by asking and encouraging others to do the same. And whereas the first day of summer, the season in which kids typically spend more time at homes of friends and family, is designated as National ASK Day. So I, Cynthia Jacoby, Council President of the Newport City Council, do hereby proclaim June 21st, 2022, to be a day to ask in Newport, and encourage all residents and visitors to embrace the 2022 Asking Saves Kids campaign. There are some brochures on the back table there if anyone would like to take some with them or ask us for more. There are more available. Would either of you like to make a brief public comment?
Here's the mic.
You have to sit and give your name and address.
I live on Douglas Street. My name is Rhonda Harmon. And when you're looking at this, there's all kinds of information. This would be a good thing to keep on your dashboard so you can talk about it with people. But the one that kind of gets to me is approximately 90% of fatal firearm incidents involving children occur within a home. So locking up our guns is just one simple way to keep more children a lot safer.
All right, thank you. May I present the proclamation to you for your keeping? Okay, thank you. Okay, we now have a proclamation recognizing the history of surfing in Newport. I believe Sandy Blackman would like to come up and be here with me while I read this. Good to see you.
Ruin the picture.
No, goodness. Okay. No. Nice to do this. This is great recognition. Okay. Whereas the Agate Beach surfing began in earnest with Scott Blackman, great guy, yes, Rick O'Hanna Bailey, and Larry Tucker in the summer of 1964. And whereas Blackman, Bailey, and Tucker founded the Agate Beach Surf Club for local youth and sponsored the first surf contest the summer of 1965, which was only the second contest held in Oregon. And whereas surf contests were organized locally by the Agate Beach Surf Club from 1965 to 1969, and the members competed in surf contests from Northern California, Coos Bay, Pacific City, and Seaside, winning 75 trophies, more than any other surf club in Oregon during the 1960s. And whereas the Oregon surf culture has been documented in books by local authors Sandy and Scott Blackman, and printed, celebrated in print media, videos, and exhibits at the Maritime Museum and the Visual Arts Center, and whereas surfers and organizations such as the Surfrider Foundation celebrate recreation and promote the protection and enjoyment of local oceans, waves, and beaches. And whereas the recreational and economic impact of surfing-related activities in Oregon has been documented by the Surfrider Foundation. And whereas surfing enthusiasts in a variety of professions, teachers, contractors, attorneys, medical providers, city and state employees have sought local employment in order to surf and live by the ocean. And whereas a variety of year-round surfing opportunities are available in the Newport area for individuals or generations of families along 10 miles of favorable surf spots from South Beach to Agate Beach and Otter Rock. Now therefore, I, Cynthia Jacoby, Council President of the Newport City Council, do hereby proclaim the Greater Newport, Oregon area as home to Oregon surfing, past and present. A wonderful celebration.
Thank you.
Okay, wow. Thank you. Would either of you like to say a brief word to the subject?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Oh. Sure.
I want to thank the city who's been very supportive of us and helped with the Agate Beach Surf Club Memorial, helped with land, and the Arts Committee gave to the plaque and helped us pay for the builder. We fundraised over $5,000 to do that. And you're all invited to come to the Big Surfing Weekend, which is July 15th and 16th. And we're having dedication of that from the founding fathers that have come from Hawaii. And surfers are coming from California, Oregon, Hawaii, and Washington. And we are doing a paddle out, and we are honoring 63 Oregon surfers who have passed. And the list keeps on growing. And so I think surfing has really changed since when I was a teenager here. And it brings a lot of dollars to this community with restaurants, hotels, surfing. So I really appreciate the city supporting us and also making this proclamation. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling it to our attention. We will now move on to 4D, communication from the library. And there is a slide presentation. All right. Oh, thank you.
Okay, it's on. Okay, thank you for having us here. We would like to thank City Council, the Mayor, the City of Newport, and the community for your support of the library. But specifically, we're here to talk to you about our teen program and the teen room. I have some people here with me. This is Vanessa Clausing. She is our teen librarian. Linda Annable, who's one of our supervising librarians, is filming. And Jan Eastman, who's a member of our staff, is here as well. We have 40 to 50 teens that come after school on a daily basis. And we have the wonderful problem of where do we put them? We have a safe, welcoming, inclusive space. They feel like they're welcome. They can be themselves. A variety of programs that are offered. But one of the gems of the library is our teen space, our teen program, and our very robust teen volunteer program. So without further ado, I'm going to turn over the mic so you guys can hear from Vanessa and our wonderful group of teens.
So hi, I'm Vanessa Clausing, and I'm a children and teen librarian here for the City of Newport. And I have brought with me some amazing teens, which I want to point out how extra important it was for them to make it here tonight because multiple reasons. The library is not open on Mondays, so these kids had to be conscientious and remember that they needed to be here. School is also out, so the last time that you know I've interacted with at least some of our kids would have been on Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. So I have some of our volunteers, and we have Evian, and Evian is one of our volunteers. She is actually a homeschool student from here, from the City of Newport. I have Brody. Brody is going to be junior at Newport High School, and I have Miriam, and Miriam is going into eighth grade here at Newport Middle School. So they have a few things that they are going to say, so I'm going to introduce one of them to say a few words, and I am then going to kind of go back and forth with them a little bit. So if I could invite Miriam to come on up here and have something to say, come on up.
The number of volunteers that impact the space are 14, and it impacts the space because they give back to the community by volunteering their time, and they help by stuffing thousands of STEAM activity kits over the past 2 years. So during COVID-19, when kids, like elementary schoolers, were at home, something to keep them busy and preoccupied instead of wandering around the house, playing with stuff that's dangerous, they play with STEAM kits, and they build stuff, and they're creative, and it's kind of like art. Some teen volunteers disinfect all the children's toys and puzzles, trains on a daily basis, because we don't want the kids to get sick from COVID or something like that, and we organize the books displays. So there's books that we put out, like new books that we put out every month to decide, like they're different books every month, and it has like different ethnicities.
Yeah, so what are some of the books we would have put out this month?
We would have put out LGBTQ themed books and like different types of races with that type of books, the stuff. That's so usually what we put out in June and every other month.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Miriam. So one of the things that I wanted to let you guys know about is that the teen room is kind of a self-led space. So we have really basic rules. And the rules are that you have to be kind, respectful, and responsible, which pretty much covers it all, right? And I've allowed the kids to come up with what does that mean for our space. So I gave them a small budget. When the 2020 Olympics happened, they were really impassioned to add every flag of every participating country from the 2020 Olympics. So if you walk by our teen room, you will see over 200 flags hanging from the ceiling, which is really dynamic. Another thing that they had was a pride flag, and I encouraged them to choose their own, and they chose the progressive pride flag, which is fantastic. So it looks a little bit different than maybe the just plain rainbow. There's like a triangular additional pieces to that progressive pride flag. And then the other thing that they did, and this is speaking to my ignorance, was they were going to fold paper cranes that were in LGBTQ colors and hang them from the ceiling. I fully anticipated rainbows hanging from my ceiling, and they came to me with different color patterns, and I asked, again, like I said, through my ignorance, why are we doing these color patterns? I'm confused. And they educated me to the piece that each one of those color patterns represented a specific LGBTQ group through that color pattern. So if you look in the teen room, you'll see colors hanging down. That might not mean anything to you. But if you're a pansexual or a transgender person, you're going to recognize that color pattern and realize it's an inclusive space for you and for anybody else that comes by. So hopefully if you get a chance to walk by the teen room, it screams invitation to you. That was our goal. Okay, so I'm going to invite Evian up here really quickly. So Evian has something special for you that the kids have actually been working on for 2 months. There are multiple little special notations made by the teens that utilize our space. Essentially, I just said, tell me something about the library. Why do you like it? Why is it important to you? How do you use it? Just be positive. Come up with what you want to say. So I'm going to ask Evian to read a few of the quotes that some of the teens had written down for you guys.
And Evian, do you mind starting and volunteering your pronouns? Please share your pronouns as well.
Oh, okay. They, them. Anyways, okay. So, this is from Grace H., and she said, I think the library helps children and teens because it provides a space for kids to hang out and study. For example, me and my friends hang out there on Wednesdays, and the library lets us hang out because there's not really any other places that we could go. It also allows kids and teens to check out and read different books.
Okay. Very nice.
And then Zoe said, I love the teen room, 5 stars. Luna says, a lot of teens need somewhere to wait to be picked up after school, and the teen room is a great place for that.
How about just one more?
Okay. Toby says, the green room is a safe, the teen room is a safe place for myself and a lot of other people. It's really fun, and I hang out there a lot.
Yep. So I encourage you guys, when this card does come to you, which we're going to leave this here for you guys, I encourage you to take a minute and read. There are a couple of them that will probably bring tears to your eyes. There's one that speaks to the fact it's the only place they get to be their authentic selves and feel safe. There's conversations about how it's a great place because we allow them to eat, right? Like things you just don't think about, that they are allowed to eat inside the building. So really important that there's this safe, inclusive, sheltering place where they know nothing, no harm's going to come to them. So some of the activities.
Can we see the card?
Oh, of course. And this was made by one of my teen volunteers who isn't here. Her name is Tasha. She said, thank you, City of Newport. Oh, are you going to hold it up for me?
Yeah.
And then inside it says, us teens love the Newport Public Library. And again, this is, I don't give direction. I say we want to give the city councilors and our mayor a thank you card. So what would that look like? So this is what it looks like. And like I said, all of them were just encouraged to write positive interactions. And so it's on the inside, on the outside. I don't know. We didn't count, but there are a lot of people who had something to say about the library. And everyone that wrote on this card is all probably 17 and under. We, you know, they're all middle school, high school kids here. So how am I doing on time? Are we running out?
Okay.
Yeah, please do. Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sure. Pass it around.
So if you don't know, some of the activities we have at the library go on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. So every day, the kids have an opportunity to play games. We have tons of board games. We have puzzles. We have a PlayStation, and we have a Wii where the kids can just check out controllers, play in the building, play with their friends. We also incorporate some craft activities in there on a monthly basis. Right now it's origami, but we've had pumpkin decorating that was amazing. Some great pictures of silly pumpkins. We've done origami. We've done paracord bracelet making. So there's always a different little activity available in the teen room for the kids to do. And then any self-led programs that they want to do. And consistently, we have art happening in there. We have homework happening. We have kids just utilizing our charging station to charge their phones or their computers so that they can continue to do what they need to do to function in our world. So I have one more person that's going to talk, and this is Brody. So Brody, can you come on up here? And Brody's pronouns are...
I am he, him.
Yep.
So the library averages 40 to 50 teenagers per day, and it's a really safe, sheltered place to go after school when you don't really have, a lot of adults get off at 5. You don't really have anywhere to go when school gets out at 3:30. So this is a safe place for everybody to go. It has Wi-Fi, computers, study rooms, internet. It has chargers. It has everything you have, or you could offer. You can go there, do homework. You can, as soon as you walk into the teen room, there's always something happening too. It doesn't matter if you don't know anybody or anything. You walk in and everybody always welcomes you, and there's always something to do. So, yeah.
Very nice. Thank you. So. I think I kind of want to hit a little bit hard on what he just said, is that there's always something to do. One of the things that I've noticed in that teen space is, even if you're new to that room, the kids are always like, hey, we're building this puzzle over here, or we're playing the PlayStation. Do you want to join us? I'll check out another controller for you. And you're only a stranger there for about 5 minutes, and then everybody has included you. And that just speaks volumes to the culture of the space. They clean up after themselves, and they take care of each other. And I usually only have to go in every once in a while to tell them to, like, keep the noise level down, because there's so many of them. So the last thing I want to tell you about is something that we do every year, and that's summer reading. And this year's Teen Summer Reading Program is in high gear already. We've already had our first event in June. It was on the last day of school. We did a really fun field day. And if you don't know what field day is, the schools call field day kind of the gaming activities that they do after school. So we had cornhole, we had limbo, we had a giant parachute where we played fun parachute games. We played ladder ball. We had a enormous Connect Four that we did bunny rabbit game to, like, play a relay. And we had a lot of fun. There was, I think, 37 kids that were there after school just that day. And we give away books as prizes, but ultimately it's just about them coming and having a fun place to hang out. Our next event is in July, and we'll be doing tie-dye activities again outside, and weather hopefully will cooperate. And we will have all the supplies they need, but you can bring your own too. So if you bring a t-shirt or something fun you want to tie-dye, we're happy to help you do that. And in August, we're doing an event called Hydro Dipping. And I made a good decision in buying 24 cans of spray paint to play with the teens, but we're going to have a really good time. So hydro dipping is you essentially spray paint into a bucket of water, and then you dip items into that, and the paint grabs on. So you could dip whatever, shoes, skateboards, helmets. Anyways, we have all the supplies they need, and if they bring things, they can participate too. And that's for, like, middle school, high school kids here in Newport. So we are very excited about all the things that are constantly happening at the teen room, and really we want to know that you guys have made that possible, right? So the public library wouldn't exist without the city of Newport, and every time you invest in the library, you're investing in the future of your community, and these are all future library users, future members of hopefully city council and all kinds of different things. So thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate all of you done for us.
Thank you for coming. From Councillor Hall.
I just wanted to make a comment. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I also use they, them, theirs. And as someone who, when I go into the library, I always peek into the teen room. I'm clearly not cool enough to be in there. But I do really appreciate the progress pride flag. And I love that you went with all of the different LGBTQ identities in terms of the colors of the cranes. That means a lot. And we know that the statistics show that 1 in 6 of the folks that are youth and up are identifying as LGBTQ. And that number is getting closer to 1 in 5. So having a very welcoming space that people feel like they can be themselves means so much to me personally. And we know that LGBTQ youth that don't feel accepted or safe or welcome are 4 to 10 times more likely to contemplate or attempt suicide. So you're literally doing suicide prevention by having spaces that have LGBTQ resources, that have places where people can understand or learn more about their identity. So I'm just very grateful for all that you are doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love to hear your enthusiasm. Every time I go to the library, I'm amazed how much the teen room is used, and there's always a cheerful buzz, so don't worry about being too loud. It's a good sound.
Our goal is that they will learn in the future how to be adult library patrons, though. That's the end goal.
I want to make a comment, too. Welcome to the city council meeting. I hope you learned something here. Also, and we enjoyed your presentation. But I remember when I was in high school, libraries were much different then. And libraries today are just not for books anymore. You know, it's a whole different animal.
We still have books.
And I know. I know. I used to in high school have to tiptoe up to the librarian, and she'd shush me, and you can't make any noise. And And that's I go in the library now. It's a very active place, and that's a whole different experience. So.
Good.
Yeah, I don't get to shush.
I never make any noise. Yeah.
No, I haven't put in my quota of shushing for the year. That is
anyway,
for sure.
I'm glad that the library is reaching out to everyone in our community, not just traditional aspects of the library, and it's a good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to say thank you for coming today, and I just want to say it's the biggest car we ever got here. So thank you, and it's beautiful. I read the message, and thank you for putting those messages together. It means a lot to us. And I want to say, thank you to you, because you are the ones, and Linda's over there too, bringing the community together and making a safe environment is very important in this community. And I'm hoping you continue, and I'm cheering there, cheering.
And I want to thank you for coming, and it's very brave to speak to the city council, I congratulate you on your courage, because it's for a lot of folks speaking, and you all spoke very articulately, and you're well represented, the folks that you're representing, and thank you.
Thank you. I should say we had one more teen who takes public transportation who was waiting with us and then ducked out. So Tobias was here and had prepared remarks as well, but unfortunately couldn't remain. I'm sorry.
Good to see the library at work, yeah?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank Goodbye, you. And thanks again. Bye. Good to have you here. Okay, we will move on to number 5, which is the consent calendar. Eric?
The consent calendar tonight consists of approval of the minutes of the work session of June 6, 2022, consideration and potential adoption of resolution number 3960, a resolution extending the city of Newport's workers' compensation insurance coverage to qualified volunteers of the city of Newport for coverage year 2022-2023, and receipt of approved committee minutes, which consists of May 9th Planning Commission work session, May 9th 2022 Planning Commission regular session, May 23rd 2022 Planning Commission work session, the May 23rd 2022 Planning Commission regular session, and the May 10th 2022 Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee minutes.
Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I got a question for Spencer before.
Okay.
So Spencer, on the workman's comp, how are we going to broadcast that to our people that volunteers will not be covered by workman's comp?
Yeah, they always have been. We have to do this annually.
Yeah, but that might help us get volunteers too.
Yeah, so. No, and I think it's in our handbook for workers' comp too. But we'll double check that. For volunteers, excuse me. But this has been in place for many years, so. We okay. just have to do it on an annual basis.
We just have to spread the word a little bit.
Right.
It's in our application materials.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I thought it was. So.
I move we accept the consent calendar.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Councillor Goebel, seconded by Councillor Kaplan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. We'll go on to number 6 on the agenda. Public hearing. Eric?
The first item is the public hearing and potential adoption of resolution number 3951, a resolution providing for a supplemental budget and making appropriations, total requirement changes for fiscal year 2021-2022.
Okay. Spencer?
Yep. Tonight we have a series of public hearings on the budget. This one is the only one that's dealing with the current year budget, which ends on June 30th. And we have to do a final supplemental budget in order to reconcile the budget as we reach the end of this fiscal year. And so this is the last opportunity to address issues. I've outlined, acting finance director has also outlined the very specific changes that are in the in this particular budget amendment, and would certainly be happy to answer any questions on that. The adjustments in this resolution represent an increase for total appropriations of just under 1%. It's 0.87% over the last supplemental budget approved by the City Council on April 18th. This is about 9.39% over the original adopted budget. The majority of the things that constitute that 9.39% increase are capital projects that are carried over from fiscal year to fiscal year, and the operational changes are certainly a much more minimal part of the budget. But I would recommend that the president conduct a public hearing on resolution number 3951, resolution providing for a supplemental budget and making appropriations and total requirement changes.
Okay, I'm opening the public hearing for resolution number 3951. Are there any comments, any public comments?
Or rather, probably more a question. Rex Capri, 255 Northwest 17th Street here in Newport. What part of the budget is being allocated for street maintenance around Newport here? Because as anybody who lives here probably knows, a lot of our streets are really deteriorating around here fast. So I'd kind of like to know what kind of prioritization for the residential streets around here. A lot of potholes, a lot of cracks, a lot of old asphalt around here. So
I think that's
if you could comment to that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, and that's going to be in the budget for next year. This is the budget amendment for the current year, but we'll get into that description when we come up to that item. So if you can hang on for that budget approval hearing that we'll have a little bit later here. So
okay,
this is an amendment to the current year budget. So
oh, okay.
Yeah, so we'll cover that when we get to that point. So. Then if you have questions.
Scheduling for that? Or
yeah, it's
stay
coming.
Here. Yeah. Stay. We'll be right there on that item.
In it just won't a be moment. Long. So.
Oh, okay.
We, got, a bunch of money things to approve tonight.
Thank you, Rex.
Thanks, Rex.
Hold that thought. Yeah. Okay. I will close the public hearing, and we will go on to 6B.
Wait, I think we need to make the motion on it, right?
Excuse me. Yes. Oh, we have to vote on it too. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
And again, yeah, the motion should be to approve resolution.
Okay,
the motion is in the staff report.
Yeah. My only question is, you're not taking this out of the golf course fund, right?
No, we aren't.
Okay, I'll move then.
Okay. Sorry.
I move that the City Council approve resolution number 3951, a resolution providing for supplemental budget and making appropriations and total requirement changes and increasing the total appropriations by $851,700 with a new appropriation balance of $97,933,122.
Second.
It's been moved by Councillor Goebel, seconded by Councillor Poteo. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? No. Motion carries. Now we go on to 6B. Eric?
6B is a public hearing and possible adoption of resolution number 3955, a resolution imposing and categorizing ad valorem taxes for the fiscal year 2022-2023.
Okay. Spencer?
The Budget Committee has met. They've reviewed various aspects of the budget and have approved the proposed tax levy for fiscal year 2022-2023. City Council needs to ratify that decision by adopting the resolution number 3955. The city tax rate remains at 5.5938 per $1,000 of assessed valuation for general city operations. That's one component of the tax bill. The second component is on bonded debt. And again, we have the bonded debt for the water treatment plant. The needs for that for this coming year is $2,248,153. And the aquatic center, the bonded debt that would be paid off for this year, coming year, would be $644,116 for a total of $2,892,269. In debt payments that will appear on the tax bills as well. That is a very slight reduction from last year. It's about $40,000 less, so at least it's going in the right direction. So I would recommend, again, Council President conduct a public hearing on the imposing and categorization of ad valorem taxes for the city for this coming year.
Okay, I open the public hearing for resolution number 3955. Are there any public comments? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing. And is there a motion to adopt?
I move to adopt resolution number 3955, a resolution imposing and categorizing the ad valorem taxes for the city of Newport at the rate of $5.5938 per $1,000 of assessed valuation, plus an amount of $2,892,269 to cover debt requirements for the city of Newport for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2022 and ending July 30, 2023.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved by Councillor Goebel, seconded by Councillor Kaplan.
I want to just have a moment of discussion to ask a clarifying question.
Sure.
So with the 5.5938 per $1,000, and then there is the additional amount, which, hold on, I just want to go back in for 1 second.
2.8.
The 2.8. That 2.8 is on top of the 5.59.
Correct.
And so then that 2.8 gets divided by the number of taxpayers within the city. And is it a one-time assessment?
No, the...
I want to clarify that piece.
Yeah, so for the bonded debt, the city... bonded debt that gets added to the tax base, our voter-approved bonded debt. We have two voter-approved bonded debt issues that are out there. One is for the water plant, and that water plant one continues on for, I think, another 7 years.
I think to 2029.
And then the second one is for the aquatic center, and that continues on for probably another 12 years or so. And so those are the two voter-approved bonded debts that are being paid back. What happens is we take a look at what the interest and the principal payments plus any of the legal fees that are part of that process, and we report what we need to the county assessor. The county assessor then applies that equally against the assessed valuation base, so it gets prorated out based on an individual's assessed valuation as determined by the county assessor.
Sorry, we were mid-vote, but I need to clarify that.
So
thank
the
you.
Question I think CCM was asking was it's not based on valuation of property, it's based on an individual house, but every household pays the same? Or
No. It is based on valuation of property.
On valuation.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
So a house worth with an assessed valuation of $200,000 is going to pay half the rate of a house assessed at $400,000.
Okay. Are we ready to vote? All questions answered?
No.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Moving to 6C. Eric, please.
A public hearing and potential adoption of resolution number 3956, a resolution declaring the city's election to receive state shared revenues.
Okay, Spencer.
State revenue sharing law requires cities to pass an ordinance or a resolution each year stating their desire to receive state shared revenues. The public hearings were held by the Budget Committee on April 26, 2022 and May 17th, 2022, regarding the state shared revenues. No public comments were received. The state also requires the City Council to hold public hearings prior to adoption of a resolution. City receives five types of state shared revenues that include general shared revenues from the state, liquor tax shared revenues, cigarette tax shared revenues, highway tax shared revenues. The estimated revenues for fiscal year 22-23 are as follows. The general shared revenues are $165,000. Liquor tax is $193,815. These are, again, our projected amounts. A cigarette tax is $7,943. State shared marijuana taxes are $13,239. And highway gas tax for the street fund and capital projects fund is $809,364. And when we get to the regular budget, Rex, I'll explain that in context with the regular budget. Finally, from the highway gas tax revenue, $16,187 is designated for sidewalk and bicycle improvements. It's a percentage of that money that's received is required to go into that particular fund. I would recommend the council president conduct a public hearing on adoption of resolution number 3956.
Okay. I will now open the public hearing on resolution 3956. Are there any public comments? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing. Will someone make a motion to adopt?
I'll move.
You have a question?
Yeah.
Question first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that okay? Mm-hmm. I just have a question about the street following Rex's question. Is that this part of the money is the funding for the streets, but is for for the patching, or how is this funding used on the streets?
Yeah, the money that we get from state shared revenues funds our general operations for the street department. And so that includes maintenance activities, that includes equipment we buy for the street department, that includes payroll and other activities relating to street maintenance in the city. When we get to the regular budget, we'll talk a little more about how that fits in with the capital and what the shortages are in dollars necessary for maintenance of our street system. So this is one piece, and we can better talk about it as part of the other hearing.
6F, right? You're referencing 6F, I think.
That is correct.
Okay, I'll move to adopt resolution number 3956, a resolution declaring the city's election to receive state shared revenues pursuant to ORS 221.770 for fiscal year 2022-2023.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Councillor Kaplan, seconded by Councillor Hall. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Let's go on to 6D, please, Eric.
A public hearing and potential adoption of resolution number 3957, a resolution adopting a fee schedule for the city of Newport for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2022 and ending June 30th, 2023, repealing resolution number 3920, which established fees for the year ending June 30th, 2022.
Okay. Spencer, can you give us the background?
Sure. During the budget meetings, and I do encourage folks to participate in budget meetings because we go into a great level of detail on all these items at that particular time. But the budget committee reviews and the city council adopts an updated fee schedule each year by resolution. The comprehensive fee schedule better assures the various rates and charges are evaluated on an annual basis. It also allows staff and the public to have one point of reference of four fees that are charged to avoid inappropriately charging the wrong amount for a particular service. There are several changes that were included in the proposed fee schedule, and I'll cover the more major ones. First of all, each year the budget reviews the needs in the water, wastewater, and stormwater funds, and those are what we do a direct billing on a monthly basis to our water and sewer customers. As you may remember, in the COVID year of the 2021 fiscal year, the council opted not to go forward with any rate increase in that particular year in order to give folks a bit of a break during that time period. Unfortunately, things have sort of caught up with us, and so we have a larger rate increase that's proposed for this year. And that's a 5% increase in the stormwater rates, a 6% increase in water rates. The largest of the increases is a 12% rate increase in wastewater for this coming year. And that would raise a bill of a customer using 4,000 gallons of water and wastewater from $103.85 to $113.39 per month. Other adjustments in the fee schedule that were reviewed by the budget committee and recommended for adoption by the council is a number of fees, including airport hangar rates, various building permit fees have been increased by the cost of living for this next year and are reflected in the fee schedule. We did reduce several liquor license charges to bring them into compliance with state charging schedules. Water connection and deposit fees have been increased. Utility rates are reflected in the, again, in this report. One of the new charges that is being proposed this year is a right-of-way permit charge of $100, which is proposed for engineering when we do get right-of-way permit issues for driveways and other items that are there to try to offset a portion of that cost. And then there's also been fees imposed at the library, which include the a new fee of $300 for replacement of laptops and devices loaned by the library and other items that are done at cost, as well as a $50 cleaning fee of, or a cord of $50 and cleaning of those items for $10. So again, we've got some new fees in place at the library to cover some of the things that we're loaning out at the library that are new things other than books. So the full fee schedule has been included in all the budget documents, but my recommendation is Council President conduct a public hearing on resolution number 3957, adopting a fee schedule for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2022.
Okay. I will open the public hearing on resolution number 3957. Are there any public comments? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Any discussion by the council before adoption? I have a motion.
Just thanks to the budget committee's work. I mean, this is all about the work that the budget committee has done, so.
Yes, a lot of work, yeah, okay. Do I have a motion?
I'll move to adopt resolution number 3957, a comprehensive schedule of fees and charges for the 2022-23 fiscal year, which establishes the fees and charges for the city services. Resolution 3920, which adopted the 2021-22 city fee schedule, is specifically repealed, and all such fees and charges inconsistent with the fees and charges set forth in said schedule are superseded and repealed. This resolution will become effective July 1,
2022.
Second. What motion were you reading? It's quite different than what I have.
Yeah, I lost my place 60? Here too on that one.
Where,
wasn't it 6D?
It 6D. Yeah. Are we on the right one? I couldn't see that either.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I was working off of the staff menu report.
I think you were doing
on the
yeah.
report. Yeah.
Well, that, just I'll take that back. If you
no, I think it worked.
It worked okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a shorter version.
Oh well, you know, I've never been known for a
short version. Oh, is there a second for the long version? Okay. Motion was made by Councillor Kaplan, seconded by Councillor Bateo. All those in favor, say yes. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, that was 6D. We're moving on to 6E, please. Eric.
Public hearing and potential adoption of resolution number 3958, a resolution setting the purpose and review times for municipal reserve funds and repealing resolution 3921.
Spencer, background, please.
Okay, the city is given authority under state law to set up one or more reserve funds to accumulate resources for specific purposes. For example, later on, we have a purchase of a new fire apparatus that's on the agenda for consideration by the council. The funding for that was set up through contributions into an annual reserve over a period of years so that the funds are available when that purchase comes along. The reserve funds have to be reviewed by council on a periodic basis. I think it's every 5 years, but because we were having problems trying to remember the timing for each of these reserve funds, and there's a series of them that are outlined in the materials, We decided to do this on an annual basis to make sure we don't miss any of those renewal deadlines. So the motion will basically adopt the resolution that will set the purpose and review times for municipal reserve funds and repealing last year's resolution 3921. So I would recommend the council president conduct a public hearing on resolution number 3958.
Okay, I'll open the public hearing on resolution number 3958. Are there any public comments? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Council, are you ready to move? Okay, motion.
This will be a short one. I move to adopt resolution number 3958, a resolution setting the purpose and review times for municipal reserve funds and repealing resolution number 3921.
Second.
It's been moved by Councillor Kaplan, seconded by Councillor Goble. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay, we are going on to, let's see, excuse me. I'm missing the paper here. 6F, please. Eric.
Public hearing and potential adoption of resolution number 3952, a resolution adopting fiscal year 2022-2023 budget and making appropriations.
Okay, Spencer.
The various resolutions that were approved before this point are really built into building the overall budget for the fiscal year that'll begin on July 1st, 2022. The budget process is an extensive process that began back in November. Staff is heavily involved with developing various needs through the course of the year. We take a look at what resources we have, and then ultimately it's my job to prepare a proposed budget to the budget committee for review and approval. One thing I do want to indicate this year is I really want to extend a special appreciation to Steve Baher, who as our acting finance director, and as not having an acting assistant finance director, was really doing a tremendous amount of work to get through the budget process here. So, Steve, thank you very much for all of your efforts at really muscling through this. And I know Steve spent a fair number of weekends in here. Because we were often working together on weekends in here trying to get through the budget process. Also, I want to thank the department heads and staff that are involved in pulling together the pieces that are necessary to put a budget together like this. It's a challenging job, and it takes a lot of time to do it right. And so, again, I appreciate that. Finally, the budget committee met four separate times in order to go through the budget. There was a preliminary meeting. The first meeting was a complete page-by-page review of the several hundred pages of budget materials, raising questions and issues for the budget process. Those were then responded to by the various departments at the third meeting of the budget committee, and the budget committee made decisions about making various changes at that time. The fourth meeting of the budget committee was focused on approving the document that's before the city council tonight. And so the budget committee members put a lot of hours in, and that includes the members of the council as well as an equal number of citizen appointees to the budget committee. And I really appreciate the pain and suffering everyone goes through in these very lengthy meetings to get through this process. Again, from a budget standpoint, this year and the past couple of years have been very interesting and challenging from a budgetary standpoint. The impact of COVID-19 that had anticipated impacts and actual impacts of COVID-19 have certainly skewed a number of our budget numbers as we kind of worked our way through those various issues. The other issues that we're dealing with and taking a look at the budget coming up in this next year is dealing with inflation, the labor market, and supply chain issues. Those have all had direct impacts on our projections going forward in the next year. One of the real challenges that we've had, again, from a operational standpoint, but it has a direct impact on the budget, is being able to hire people to fill jobs. That has been a major challenge through the course of the past couple years. It continues to be a challenge. From a budget standpoint, there's an upside, and that is that we aren't spending as much money on labor because we've got vacant positions there, though we are spending more on overtime in certain departments where we have to add that additional time. The downside is we definitely are falling behind on some things that are critical for us to keep up with, and that's been the real frustration through this entire time period of not being able to keep people employed. It's caused us to limit hours of operations at the library, in the rec center. It certainly has caused a pile up of work in various departments. So keeping things moving in the short term has been I think we've been doing a reasonably good job of that. But we're setting aside a lot of these long-term issues that we really need to be focusing on because we just haven't had the staff to really tackle a lot of that stuff. From a general fund standpoint, and with the ARPA funds that were received from the federal government, the general fund is in a stronger position this year than what we were anticipating, and we will continue to be in a relatively strong position during the next fiscal year. Again, the general fund is funding general operations such as police and fire and general government, community development, the library, and those sorts of functions, finance, and those sorts of functions in the city. The general fund also provides substantial funds to keep parks and recreation funded, our various facilities, the PAC, the VAC, and other structures that we have there going as well. So generally, in our general fund category, we're in a stronger position than certainly what we were anticipating, and so I'm feeling fairly comfortable there at this point. The funds that are really struggling are utility funds, and as I've indicated to the Budget Committee earlier, the challenge with the utility funds has been that's one area where we did see revenues go down during the COVID period of time. Secondly, we didn't increase, we skipped a step of increases, and that those increases are used to cover operational costs as well as non-general obligation debt that we have within those funds. And so that's, put us into a difficult situation. The water plant crisis that we had in 2020 has required a number of unanticipated capital improvements that has been going on over the last couple of years, as well as a significant amount of unanticipated reinvestment in the wastewater treatment plant, which is reaching an age where we're going to be having to do some major replacement and upgrading of equipment in the next few years. And so those have been a challenge for the utility funds. On the expense side, again, the city has undertaken a number of projects in water and wastewater to try to keep those systems functioning and providing the services that we need to provide as a city. So looking ahead for the proposed expenditures, the operational costs for the city of Newport have been, again, a challenge to estimate due to economic uncertainties. But the proposed budget is restating a number of positions that were eliminated due to uncertainties relating to the pandemic. We're picking up three new firefighter positions in this budget. There's a number of other positions that have been funded in the police department as well, where we've had various gaps going forward. So we've had some staffing restored in this particular budget. The Budget Committee met and reviewed this budget. They made various recommendations to the Council on adjustments. All those adjustments were made in the budget that was approved by the Budget Committee at their final meeting. The changes to the budget to increase the total requirements to $102,025,486 for this upcoming fiscal year. The Council did ask at the June 6th meeting that we add a $100,000 wastewater project, and that's been incorporated into the recommendation the motion to approve the resolution, and that increases our appropriation level by another 100,000. As far as responding to the question that Rex raised regarding streets, funding of streets is a challenge. In the budget, we have a fairly limited amount of money for funding streets. As you know, this November we had a proposition before the voters to increase our gas tax to 5 cents a year round, which did not get approved by the voters. That would have generated direct dollars for meeting our street needs. As a city, we had an analysis done to determine what level of investment we need to put just in capital alone, and we should be investing about $2 million a year in our street systems for capital improvements in order to keep the street system sound. We're able to do about half of that with the funds that we have available in the budget, and so until we can secure additional funds, the challenge of meeting those needs in the street department is going to be a challenge, and we're looking at other options on how to do that. Now, one of the things that has been beneficial is for the streets that are within urban renewal districts, we've been able to make investments into those streets in those urban renewal districts. The big project that we conducted in conjunction with ODOT on 35th and 101 is a good example of a substantial investment that was made in the street system there. We do have funding for future street improvements on the north side as well in urban renewal in conjunction with the transportation plan, which is being approved. But we still have a gap between what the dollar needs are for reinvesting into streets and what the funding is. The one thing that the council has pursued is getting additional flexibility in the use of the transient room tax to fund basically road projects. That's an issue that's that we've sent to the League of Oregon Cities for their review and hoping to get an endorsement from the League of Oregon Cities on that. We'll also be working with our legislators there, and certainly any contact you have with either Representative Gomberg or Senator Anderson on that issue is helpful, because if we can use some of those dollars to reinvest in roads, that helps us get to that $2 million target that we need to be addressing on an annual basis. So I wish I could tell you, Rex, that we were in good shape on doing this, but we've got some gaps, and we're working hard to try to figure out how to fill those gaps going forward. So that's the quick.
Do you want to also mention the pothole?
One item you forgot, though.
Machine.
Yeah, the.
Do you want to specifically note that?
We just backing up, and Rex, put this on your calendar. On July 18th, we'll be having a report on our street maintenance program and the possibility that money was put into the budget to buy some patching machine to provide a better, more resistant patch where we're doing patchwork on streets. Again, the council's going to be reviewing that report on July 18th at 4 o'clock, and so I'd encourage you to sit in on that. So.
Yeah, we set aside $40,000 for that machine. Yeah.
Correct.
What's the use right between the office and the courthouse there?
Yeah, I agree with you, Rex. Our roads are in terrible shape, and we've been after Spencer as a council last year. Let's get on the potholes. And Ryan is probably one of the most outspoken on this, and I think he was the one that proposed this patching machine. And I think it's a good idea, and I think we do need to get it on our, but if we can use some of our room tax money, that'd be an ideal way to fund that patchwork out. And right now we have excess room tax money that we have to spend on other things that we had are tourist related rather than on our roads. So I agree with Spencer. If you can bend the ear of our legislators, that'd be great, yeah.
It seems to be a logical connection, so.
Right. I haven't really opened the public hearing yet, but I guess you do that. I will open the public hearing for Resolution 3952. Are there any public comments?
This would be the time to voice your concern about potholes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what we'll do is we'll incorporate his notes from the earlier one, unless there's anything else to add, but we'll incorporate it into this hearing, so.
Okay. All right. Is that okay, Rex? Okay, all right.
Prioritize if we could.
Okay. I will close the public hearing. Is the council ready to make a motion?
I'll move on the budget.
Okay.
It's the idea that we're gonna patch potholes, right? I move to adopt resolution number 3952, a resolution adopting fiscal year 2022-2023 budget as recommended by the budget committee, with the Schooner Landing sewer project of $100,000 for budget appropriations of $90,514,521 unappropriated reserves of $8,787,737 for an ending fund balance of $2,823,228 for total requirements of, boy, this keeps going up, $102,125,486.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
That's the easy part.
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's been moved by Councilor Goble.
Mark, can you repeat that motion?
No kidding.
You'll
hear me, Mark. Councilor Goble made the motion. Councilor Hall made the second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Just for public clarification, our budget is not $102 million. The way government makes us account for dollars, that every time you transfer money, you have to account for it. So it just keeps adding every time you transfer. So our budget is probably half of that. You know, I don't know where it is.
It's a little more than half of that, but Steve?
Yeah, it's $66,390.
$66 million.
$66,390,000.
Is the actual expenditures.
How much was that, Steve?
$66,390,000.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we will move on to part seven on our agenda. 7A, please, Eric.
This will be from the Budget Committee regarding recommendations to the Council for consideration during the fiscal year 2022-2023.
And Spencer.
I just wanted to make sure that got voted on, didn't it, Peggy? The last motion?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, me too, because it's good to bring that to an end. So,
We didn't make Dietmar say it again. We voted on it.
I heard the motion. But,
they didn't make you say the numbers again. We voted on it.
No, the question was whether or not we voted on the motion, but I
think I made the right motion.
You did. You did.
Did they vote?
Mm-hmm. Did we vote
yes.
on it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, it was unanimous.
Keep up with the group.
I don't know. I don't remember voting on it.
Yeah. Let's vote again. Yeah. It's better to have it twice than not at all.
Time.
So.
Yeah,
well.
Let's do it again.
One more time.
I've moved. I moved. And who seconded?
CM did.
CM seconded the motion. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Councillor Goble made the motion, and Councillor Hall seconded it. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
You got it, Spencer.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to make sure. So.
You just want your money, right?
That's good. That's good. Okay. 7, we'll continue. 7A.
This will be from the Budget Committee regarding recommendations to the Council for consideration during the fiscal year 2022-2023.
Spencer?
Yeah, during the course of the Budget Committee meetings, the Budget Committee members discussed a number of operational issues At the budget committee meeting held on May 25th, a number of motions were made with recommendations to the city council regarding various fiscal matters outside of the approved budgets for the city and the urban renewal agency. Fortunately, the recommendation isn't the whole list of these things. There's one recommendation at the end. But these were the motions that were approved by the budget committee. One is to look at a community leadership model with a report coming to the city council in a work session in March of 2023. Secondly was a low-income rate structure as part of the recreational plan, with this item being discussed by council in an August 22 work session. A report on pothole patching, as I indicated, and Rex has left, but that's on July 18th is when that item will be taken care of. There was a recommendation for discussion on a voluntary group putting decals on stormwater, that we actually had that hearing or that work session on June 8th. Also a report on the collection of tree inventory utilizing the city's GIS system. Again, that work has been scheduled for a work session in October of 22. Hangar rental rate review for January 2023 work session. Police and fire having access to available caches. Thank you. So what the city attorney comes in for is to help me with my English. and that's, again, a report we'll bring back to the council in December. Then clean up and maintain accounts receivable, including the practice for writing off delinquent accounts. It's an issue we talked a bit about during the budget process, with a report coming to the council in February 23. And then work session on contracting, considering the possibility of contracting with the state of Oregon to collect room taxes, with that report being discussed at a work session in November 2022. And also a cleanup of our eliminated businesses that are showing up in accounts receivable, where we had a one-time building permit, but we've never taken them out of that mix. And so that's a cleanup of that process that is recommended as well. So the motion would be to move to accept all these recommendations. And if this motion passes, these will be incorporated into our work session schedules for the next year.
I move to accept the recommendations provided by the Newport Budget Committee for consideration during fiscal year 2022-2023 as outlined in the June 20th agenda report by the city manager.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilor Kaplan, seconded by Councilor Goble. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? No. Motion carries. Move on to 7B, please, Eric.
Communication from the Destination Newport Committee, which is consideration and potential approval of a tourism marketing for Newport's Pride Festival.
Spencer.
The Destination Newport Committee at its regular meeting held on June 16th considered a request from Newport Pride for a tourism marketing grant. This funding would be for Newport's first LGBTQ2SIAO. And now that's minus the O. Okay, but we'll take the O off. Is there, but the plus is there. Pride event to be held from September 16th through the 18th in 2022. Grant request was requested from Destination Newport. The committee unanimously recommended that this event receive a tourism marketing grant in the amount of $13,000. The recommendation would be to approve that grant.
Any discussion?
I think it's a done deal. CM,
I feel like I should volunteer that I'm the one who made the proposal to the Destination Newport Committee, not in my council role, but in the Newport Pride Committee role.
Thank you for doing that.
Well, I think you're the one that went after this money, right? Yeah, so good. I understand that you went after, requested $5,000 and the committee actually gave you $13,000, right?
Yeah. There is a bit of a time limit. Like they had to expend these funds by June 30th. So I think that we were the lucky end of fiscal year recipients.
Timing was great, right?
Yeah, timing was really a big deal.
Would you like to move?
Yeah, I move to approve the tourism promotion grant application. Do you want to move it?
Yeah.
You want to move it?
You already started.
I think it'd be shady if I do. I'll second it.
Oh, go ahead and move. You want to move it?
No, I know. Dietmar, go.
She doesn't want to. She wants you to.
You want to move it, right?
She wants you to do it.
We don't need to be stuck up on this. We don't need to be stalled on this.
The time limit might pass.
Time limit's going to be up here, right? I move to approve the tourism promotion grant application from Newport Pride in the amount of $13,000 for the 2022 Newport Pride as recommended by the Destination Newport Committee.
Second.
It's been moved by Councillor Goble, seconded by Councillor Hall. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
The reason I did that, CM, because we had some previous discussions on it.
Okay. We will move on to the city manager's report, 8A. Eric?
This is approval of Memorandum of Understanding number 2 with the Oregon Department of Forestry related to the development of a joint use fire resource facility at Northeast 73rd Street.
Spencer?
On January 4th, the council authorized a memorandum of understanding with Oregon Department of Forestry, expressing support for a joint project with ODF where the city would provide land and the building located on Northeast 73rd Street to ODF in exchange for fire hall space within a new joint facility. Since that time, ODF has been able to obtain the commitments for acquisition for the additional land needed for this project, and the city has agreed to make a financial commitment of $100,000 plus the land and building for space in this new facility. The second MOU provides a framework for completing this transaction. The second MOU was introduced to the City Council at its June 6th council meeting, with the council directing it to be placed on this agenda for consideration and potential adoption. And recommendation would be to make two motions. The first is to execute the second memorandum of understanding. The second motion would authorize the city manager to execute a real property transfer agreement with the ODF relating to the development of a joint use fire resource facility, subject to review and approval by the city attorney.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
That's what they said. They said,
I can make the motions if we're ready. I move that the council president be authorized to execute a second memorandum of understanding with the with the Oregon Department of Forestry relating to the development of a joint use fire resource facility at Northeast 73rd.
Keep going.
Okay. It's moved by Councillor Hall, seconded by Councillor
Tao.
Are they separate motions?
I think you have to do it in two separate.
That's what I thought.
Okay, I second.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Kaplan. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nope.
Hearing none, motion carries.
I can do the second one. I further move that the council authorize the city manager to execute a real property transfer agreement with the Oregon Department of Forestry related to the development of a joint use fire resource facility at Northeast 73rd Street, subject to review and approval by the city attorney.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Councillor Hall, seconded by Councillor Goble. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none? Pardon me?
I just want to make a comment.
Okay. Okay.
So I did an initial review of the transfer agreement. Actually, that's attached as Exhibit D to the MOU. I had one change that I requested, and I heard back from ODF this morning that they were good with the change. I found a few other minor typo, a few other, you know, small items, but that was the one issue I pointed out. And so I think by the end of this week or early next week at the latest, obviously, we'll have that transfer agreement ready to go with signatures. So I just want to put that on the record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Appreciate that. Good. And yeah, we were good with moving the jurisdiction. Yep. Department of Justice does all of our stuff, and so they habitually put Marion County.
I used to work at DOJ, so I understand why they do that.
So you got all the proper you need now?
It's because their office is close by to the Marion County Circuit Court.
Yes. To answer your question, DMR, yes, we are in the process of it. So as soon as Mr. Allen's done his review, we're ready to execute the documents with the city, as well as we have already gone through the review with the adjoining property owner's attorney as well. And I believe, can I speak to the decision being posted? Yes. So we also applied for the tentative replat to create the parcels needed out of the, I guess you could say, 2.5 parcels, the city parcel, one entire parcel from the neighbor, and a portion of his existing parcels. We're going to take three parcels and create two of them. And so the decision has been approved for that, and it's was posted today, correct? And what is the protest period?
2 weeks.
So assuming no protests in the next 2 weeks.
So then you guys are going to move forward right away at that deal?
Absolutely. I'm sure Mr. Allen and Derek and Spencer are tired of my emails pushing, but yeah.
No, I never get tired of emails.
I usually get David's emails about 10 o'clock at night. So
I usually send out as many as I get, so I can't complain.
So the goal is to move forward. In fact, we have already tentatively scheduled most of our due diligence subcontractors just due to the shortage and such small availability of contractors right now. So that's why we're really, really pushing, because we have drillers for the geotechnical services that are already scheduled for the middle of July. So we are absolutely under the gun, or we are potentially losing 4 to 6 weeks on the project.
Okay. I'll try and get my changes to you and Derek in by next day or two.
That would be great.
Because Derek's actually, when are you leaving for vacation, Derek, Wednesday? So I'll try and get him out tomorrow, because Derek actually wanted to go over some items with me as well.
Well, we would appreciate that, because any changes to the city documents may also need to be reflected in the adjacent parcels. So terminology, we're trying to keep the due diligence periods and the closing dates all the same.
That probably does not change.
Okay, excellent. It is going to be a complex closing, but our goal is to essentially have one signing with everybody, take care of it all at once. So,
well, good luck to you, and hopefully you won't miss Toledo too much.
That's a Matt question.
Not too much.
All right. Thank you, Council.
Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. 8B, please, Eric.
Approval of a memorandum of understanding with the Seal Rock Water District regarding use of water from the intertie between the Seal Rock Water District and the City of Newport.
Spencer.
In 2015, funding was provided through FEMA Hazard Mitigation Program to construct an intertie between the City of Newport Water System and the Seal Rock Water System. This is located out by the airport. This intertie allows water to be provided either by the City of Newport to Seal Rock or from Seal Rock to the City of Newport. And since the intertie has been in place, we've had water going in both the directions at various points in time. The agreement also provides a basis for when water will be provided from one water system to the other. The authorizing parties using the water are defined in the agreement as well. And a fixed rate is established of $4.29 per 1,000 gallons of water used again by either side. So again, if we're using Seal Rock water, we're gonna pay $4.29. If Seal Rock is using our water, they're gonna pay $4.29. So it sets a uniform rate between the two water systems for this water. That amount is about 80% of our commercial rate, and we discounted it in part because it's a bulk emergency sort of relationship we have with another water system, and we get the same advantage when we use their water, which we use it extensively during our water plant crisis a couple years ago, and hopefully we don't have to use their water too much going forward in the future. So I'd recommend the council authorize the memorandum of understanding with Seal Rock Water District.
Okay, is this council ready to move?
Anybody want it?
Go ahead.
Go for it.
I'm getting good at this. I move to authorize the city manager to sign a memorandum of understanding between the city of Newport and the Seal Rock Water District for the use and billing of water from the Seal Rock Intertie.
Second.
It's been moved by Councillor Kaplan, seconded by Councillor Bateo. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Nope. Motion carries. Okay, move on to 8C, please.
Authorization to apply for and accept a wildland staffing grant from the Office of the State Fire Marshal for $35,000.
Okay, Spencer.
Chief Murphy actually has made the initial application for this funding to hire three volunteers help supplement the department activities over the course of this fire season. This would be in addition to the hiring of temporary firefighters to fill 24-hour shifts to address the staffing shortage we have in the fire department right now. Again, as you're aware, we've got three staffing of three people per shift. On each of those, on two of those shifts, we've had two recent resignations that have left vacancies on those shifts. On the third one, we have a firefighter who is currently on light duty and unable to perform the job of firefighters. So we're in the process of filling the permanent new jobs that are out there. We've talked to a number of those candidates to bring them in to fill in on a temporary basis until those permanent jobs can be established. And so that's something that's actually going to be going on in the next couple days here. But this is specifically a grant that would allow us to bring a few folks in for the wildfire season. And timing wise, we want authorization to do this since we aren't meeting until July 18th if we get this grant. And Rob, did you hear anything on the grant today?
I did not hear today, but I suspect probably by tomorrow I'll hear
something. So in the next day or two, we'll probably find out if we're going to be offered the grant. So.
How does this work with volunteers, Spencer? They become city employees, or how does that work?
Yeah, they're temporary employees. We pay them off of our temporary employees wage schedule.
That is correct. Yeah, we for the time period that we're going to hire them, we convert them to, as Spencer mentioned, a temporary employee, and we have a rate scale in the temporary employee rate scale that's specific for what we call seasonal firefighters.
So they're really not volunteers, they're just temporary employees.
Right? While they're employed with us, they are not considered volunteers. They're considered seasonal employees. When they're done with their term of seasonal employment, then we convert them back to volunteers.
Well, they're part of your volunteer people now?
So they're part of our volunteers now.
Okay.
And then we convert them when we hire them for the summer. And then when they're done for the summer, we convert them back.
So you have applicants for these positions?
I do.
You do, okay.
Yes,
they're not employed any place else right now?
I think at least one is self-employed and the other, I believe, is employed. However, they've both expressed interest to me that they would like to work for the summer, and we have employed them before in previous summers.
Okay, sounds good if they're willing to do it. Yeah.
I have a question, is that okay? I'm looking here, 21 volunteers, so I kind of think in few hours each. It's going to cover 21 or?
No, this would be, I would hire two of the volunteers. They would work full time. Yes. So I would hire with the funds that the grant provides, it would pay almost everything for two volunteers. So I'd hire two of them. Full time, I'd work them during the day, during our busiest times, and they would do a variety of project work that we need to have done, work on facilities, work on equipment, special projects, and then also be available for calls as well.
Okay, are you ready to make a motion?
Motion. I move to authorize an application for a wildland staffing grant for the Office of the State Fire Marshal, and if granted, authorize the city manager to execute the grant agreement for this funding, subject to review by the city attorney.
Second.
I always get all these motions. I don't know what's going on.
Second. It's all about you. It's really just all about you.
Better get up early tomorrow.
Chief is getting too much money. I know there's another one coming up that I don't know.
Do we have a second? Did someone second it? Oh, great.
A motion's been made by Councillor Hall, seconded by Councillor Goebel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Motion passes.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you. Okay, move on to 8D, please.
Finally, we get to Judy.
Extension of Visitor Fulfillment Agreement with the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce.
Spencer.
The City of Newport has an agreement with the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce for visitor fulfillment services. This agreement has been extended twice, and the original agreement and both the addenda are attached for your review. On April 29th, we did go through a request for proposal since that contract is up for renewal. We did receive two proposals for the services, and we're in the process of evaluating that, both of those proposals. The request would be to extend the chamber agreement for a three-month period, so it would expire on October 1, 2022. Hopefully we can conclude our review of the proposals certainly by the first meeting in August for council consideration and then proceed from there. And so the request would be to approve a three-month extension to allow us to complete this process, since we had two proposals, which we haven't had a second proposal on this contract for a long time. Yeah, I think one time in history we've had a second proposal on it, so it kind of caught us a little bit off guard. So,
question: Is this coming out of the present budget or the new budget?
Yeah, this has been budgeted for years, and this
and it's the money coming from
the July 1 to October 1st is through the new budget year.
Coming out of the new budget year.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Does anyone have questions for Judy, who's waited so patiently?
And by the way, Judy's got a very important day coming up, because her last day as chamber director is coming up the end of this month.
Oh, this month, end of June.
So Judy just couldn't stand missing her last city council meeting here. So
in my evening with
you. you still don't know who's taking over?
Duties are done before I can leave.
The board's still trying to find out who's taking over?
I've heard they've offered.
And I have no idea.
Okay.
We'll find out soon, hopefully.
Well, is anyone ready to make a motion?
Sure.
I'll okay. Move.
Yep. Tamar.
Are you going to move? I move to approve a three-month extension of the Visitor Fulfillment Service Agreement with the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce from July 1, 2022 to October 1, 2022 with compensation of $43,125, which is 25% of the existing agreement, and to direct the city attorney, that would be David, to prepare an extension to the existing Visitor Fulfillment Service Agreement and authorize the city manager to execute the agreement.
Second. Oh, Councillor Botteo got it.
Oh, moved by Councillor Goebel, seconded by Councillor Botteo. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. And I have a request for a short break and stretch.
Yeah. Before you do that.
And we'll see you Friday night. Yes, will you be at the chamber dinner?
What are you here for, Aaron?
Will you be at the chamber dinner this Friday?
She'll be running her last chamber dinner.
Okay.
About the dam.
Oh, the dam? Yeah.
I just wanted to thank Judy for her service as executive director of the chamber. I think she did a lot of good things during her tenure here, and just very disappointed that it's ending as soon as it is. But apparently Judy's got better things to do going forward here in the future. So, I really enjoyed working with you, and I wish you well in your retirement, it's quasi-retirement.
I have a little side thing going on, so you guys.
Good.
Yeah, I'm going to miss everybody.
So you won't be leaving town, huh?
Yeah, I own my house here.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you, guys.
Okay. So we're on break.
Should I close the city council meeting? Because we're going to come back for the local contract review board.
Yeah, I'd wait. Open up the local contract review board when we get back.
Okay.
So take a recess.
How long is our break?
5 minutes.
Okay.
5 minutes. I'll put together that amendment for the extension.
Seven. Wow. 8:30 okay. The latest.